What's up, Corporate Finance? Der Podcast für die deutsche Corporate Finance Community mit spannenden Gästen aus der Banking-, Berater- und Finanzinvestor-Szene. Heute begrüßt euch Isabella Alessa Bauer.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of What's Up Corporate Finance. I'm Isabella Alessa Bauer and I'll be your host today. This episode will be in English as my guest is Jerome Krutoff, the founder and CEO of Virtual Vaults, a leading virtual data room provider. Jerome is from the Netherlands, and while he certainly speaks excellent German, he feels most comfortable speaking English, so that's the language we'll use today. Jerome, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Vielen Dank, Isabella. thanks for having me, and thank you for let me choose for the English language. I think it's easier for me, so thank you.
No worries, we'll stay in English. As I mentioned in the beginning, Virtual Vaults is a data room provider playing a key role in the M&A process. Today, what we're planning is to take a look at your role in M&A transactions, considering how much a virtual data room is needed before and also throughout the entire investment lifecycle, and how far the sector can and will be driven by technology. Or if you say it on the other hand, where human expertise is still essential. Our topic is M&A 2.0, virtual data rooms driving the deal. So before we jump into that, let us speak a little about you and about Virtual Vaults. Tell us a little about the company.
I will, thank you. So my name is Jeroen Krutoff, CEO and founder of Virtual Vaults. We are the fastest growing VDR provider in Europe and expanding rapidly. Top three player worldwide. And our main focus is on the mid-market because we think this is where the volume of deals is. I started Virtual Vaults in 2014, working in M&A since 1999, was responsible of deal preparation and deal execution, so building physical data rooms over the years, mostly done by lawyers at the time. And the main reason I started Virtual Vaults because I worked with all of our competitors, and I think some of them have billion products, but we're not really customer-centric. And that was the main reason to start Virtual Vaults, to become the first real customer-centric VDR provider. So how we do that? First of all, we listen to our advisors, target companies and others, and we truly try to be their ally. So we're building software with and for them. So we listen to what they need, where they're looking for, and that becomes that works out. So this is why we are a system that is really secure, fast, clean UX UI, and in most of the parts, AI driven. Mm-hmm. And another really important part of this is to be a real ally, is to be transparent in our terms and conditions, so people know what we do for them, how we do that, and what it will cost eventually. So there are no hidden fees, no extras, no overages, just no penalties, just clear subscription fees, and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thank you so much for the overview. You've been our guest before. Back in June, you discussed virtual data rooms with my colleague Bastian. And what really stood out to me was your point that you as a VDR provider should be involved throughout the entire investment process as a kind of a data companion. Could you walk us through what you mean by entire investment process in more detail?
Yes, of course. Yeah, great question. Now, first of all, I think it's really important for an entrepreneur, for a company to be very, very specific on their, corporate housekeeping. Mm-hmm. So people should be aware that how important it is that you have everything in place. So when someone is asking you for a certain document, if it's a legal document, a financial document, you need to have a corporate structure where everything is being taken care of and is being filed. So that's the beginning for every company. Now, when you look at the investment process, you look at, for instance, private equity. First of all, people start with funding, so you need money to buy companies. So private equity needs to have a data room for their funding, specifically showing their background, their successes in the past, and actually showing investors or LPs why they should invest in this specific private equity firm. That's the first step. The second step is, after getting this money in, you need to spend this money, and you're going to buy companies. So that's the first part of due diligence, but then on the buy side. After buying a company, so you can imagine for a target company, it is such a roller coaster to get all this information in place for this exit. And for the private equity firm, it's really a lot of work to do a proper due diligence so they're sure they're buying a good company. When they ending up buying this company, it's so important to keep it up to date during the holding period, because after a while, you never know, it's depending of the on their strategy. Let's say in average, people sell their business or their companies within private equity between 3 and 7 years. It's so important to be exit ready. So that's why it's so important to have everything well organized and have your corporate housekeeping, or actually your exit readiness, on the highest level possible. So that's why it's so important to keep a data room, or what we call a workspace, up and running during the whole investment process.
Okay, so what you described makes absolute sense and is in kind of an ideal world. But how much of this is the case in practice? I mean, when do you typically get involved, and who usually brings you in? And just saying, when would you like to be included on the other hand, and who should be the one to involve you?
Yeah, that is a really good question. I think private equity is now aware how important it is, because they've been spending so much hours on helping their portfolio companies become exit ready time after time, time after time. So they know how much it costs in terms of money, in terms of time. Yeah. So it is so time consuming that people within private equity are aware. But still, it's just 30% of the PE firms that is really pushing us. So nowadays, most of the advisory firms are pushing us because they are aware that it's really efficient for their process. And what we see the past years, that even entrepreneurs are getting aware about data, how important it is. But still, mostly driven by sales and advisory.
Okay. So this refers to my next question. Are sellers paying enough attention to dress their businesses up? I mean, when do I have to start with the preparation, getting papers clean and so on?
I think it's always on the background. People, and specifically entrepreneurs, are always focusing on running their business and making profit, doing sales, etc. Of course, it's one of the most important parts, and preparation is really where the value is. This is where you do use strategic planning, where you organize all this kinds of stuff. But I think it's hard for them. So I would, when you ask me, I would really recommend them to really focus on it and get someone involved as a project manager to get this up and running and do it as early as possible.
So as early as possible is like months, years?
What would be ideally is that you have your corporate housekeeping up and running at all times. But if not, start with it, think about it from 6 to 12 months up front.
Okay.
It would really help you. It would help you to organize stuff, to really get a strategic planning and not getting pushed into all kinds of stress moments.
You mentioned exit readiness before. So let me just ask, to what extent can your service continue to add value right after the transaction in terms of exit readiness?
Now, as I mentioned, we have our product as workspaces. This is actually for preparation of a deal. So you have your project management there. You can do all kinds of stuff that's been necessary for the execution. For instance, AI redaction. So you're well prepared. You can chat on all documents with your advisors. So you're sure about what is getting into the data room, that everything is in there is right. Then you go into execution, when you run a full-fledged due diligence from where the buyers run their due diligence. But after the deal, everyone involved gets an archive. And on the archive, you can see what was in the data room, who looked at it, etc., and so on. So it's really important, specifically after a deal when there's a problem, you can always, when there's a discussion, if it was in the data room or not, or if it was visible in the data room or not, it is easy because there's an audit report and you can just show them it was there. So you should be aware of it. It's combined with all the data. So after buying a company, you can run this data again in your workspace and keep it up and running. Of course, you shouldn't update every little document, but I think it makes sense to look to the documents and look what priority some documents have and what you like to keep up and running for your exit readiness. So it's really important, specifically when there's a private equity firm involved, you can report there as well, or your monthly financials, etc., and you keep it up and running.
Let's stick with the private equity, or I mean the buy side in general a little. Shouldn't they have more say in which VDR should be used, as they are like more or less the heavy users?
Yeah, definitely. And it happens all the time. Of course, it isn't that easy when you release a super useful part of software that is useful for the whole market, that there is an enormous change from the beginning. But month after month, we see it growing because people become aware of the fact how important it is to have your corporate housekeeping and your exit readiness on the highest level. So what we see is that people, even when they use us on the buy side, come back to us just to be sure to do the next exit on our system. So then they're on the sell side.
Okay. So I would like to talk a little about M&A process history. You have a lot of experience. So let's just dive into the M&A process and how it has changed over time. Also, how the role of virtual data rooms has evolved. What trends or developments have you seen?
Yeah, first of all, it started, of course, with a physical data room.
Yeah.
So the first trend was not traveling. And there was no paper and there were no questions and answers via fax machine. So that makes it a little easier that everything is involved in a cloud solution. This really makes sense. And there's a lot more control, as you can imagine, because now it's totally clear because we have all our systems and all VDR providers have clear permissioning. So you know who was able to look at what document at what time. I think the largest thing is, of course, the largest innovation is AI. And tech over the years. So AI will really help us with efficiency and, of course, predictive analytics or handling repetition of all kinds of things we like to do in a quicker and faster and better way.
So let's stay with that a little. Which tasks are now already fully handled by machines and algorithms? And in your view, what could still be automated or replaced in the future?
I think in due diligence, nothing is really fully automated at the moment.
Okay.
Because there are so many difficult decisions to make. What can be very handy and is being used a lot is actually a sort of red flag reporting. So you can imagine when you have a set of data and you use AI and you ask for certain risks, it really helps you in an efficient way where to look at and where to deep dive in. And I think that is a brilliant part to have at hand and use on a daily basis. Still, the difficulty is, of course, that a lot of people don't really trust the AI yet or are not used working with it. So I think the human part will always be involved. So using AI, for instance, with red flag reporting, people will always look at the risk and people will always be involved. For now, I think it's about the repetition, the efficiency, and it really helps out people doing due diligence, but it will never, people will never disappear in this process.
Okay. And if people remain in the process, will it be easier to use future VDRs, or do you think it will take more sophistication? And if so, which kind of sophistication?
I think it won't change the way of working with a VDR. So this is our strategy on AI, specifically when AI has been trained by the users. We will bring AI to our data room in a sense that it will tell people that there is a certain word or there is a certain confidentiality in there. So it might be useful to redact it with AI. So, but for instance, lawyers will bring their own AI that they've trained. So we will combine that. The virtual data room providers will take care about security and permissioning. But the most important thing is the API, that we do the integration on the right level in the right way. So all our users can really trust on the fact that the permissioning they set in the data room is also taken care of within the AI that can be brought by which user, by every user. So for instance, when a law firm uses a part of, let's say, an integration with Jurimesh. Jurimesh is quite a well-known player in Belgium. I think they're growing in the UK. And what they do is they create red flag reports, a report from a legal perspective. And because of the integration that's well prepared, the documents that they can see and they're allowed to see, they're on the same level. So the AI is looking at the documents they're allowed to look into. And they get, of course, the right and the most efficient outcome, and that's only based on efficiency, and then they need human to look into the details.
From your perspective, can you trust AI?
Definitely, yeah. But it's the main question is, do I ask the right question? So prompting, prompting is really, some people laugh about the fact that there are prompting trainings and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but I think it makes sense, and AI will get better, but now and AI is already on quite a level, but the main question is, the people who are using it, are they using it in the right way?
Yeah, okay, I see, so it's the user, not the AI.
That's most of the time. And that's why that's nearly every time when there's a new innovation, young people are a lot better in using it.
Maybe they are a little more open, but let's see. So yeah. Just another question. You have large and also financially strong competitors, and I'm sure you're also interested in expanding your own portfolio. So where do you see technology being able to embed itself more deeply in the value chain and even take over the more intelligent aspects of human work, maybe?
Yeah, when you look at the M&A ecosystem, it's indeed full of large, well-funded players. I see technology becoming deeply embedded, that's true, across the full M&A lifecycle. So not only in the execution phase, but also in the preparation phase, as we do with workspaces. But at the end, I don't think that humans will disappear in this. The game changing isn't that big. We always need people to work on the outcome.
Do you see technology being able to interpret data on its own so that the humans then would only be needed for more emotional aspects of the deal?
Definitely. I'm not sure if it's just emotion. It's also the interpretation of the data. But tech will definitely take care of that part. But we need people to check it and to interpret it.
Okay, so people will still be needed.
Definitely, definitely. <Okay. laughs> We can do predictive analytics. We can do so much more with this data. Mm-hmm. But at the end, it is human work. Okay. It's not only emotion. There's a lot more. There's a lot more that's going on.
I see. I definitely agree. And what do you think about VDR? Will VDR remain a tool or become a game changer by allowing for more thorough analysis and scenarios, potentially leading to higher prices, to other buyers?
Yeah, we can play a really important role in this point. So as I mentioned, we are really focusing on the preparation phase next to the execution phase, but we have so much data. So you can imagine that what we are focusing on and actually building right now is connecting data across deals. So advisors having sort of a living benchmark on deal metrics, preparation quality, and buyer behavior. So when you do that securely anonymized, the thing is you can really bring value to the customer and the advisory firms and targets, so they know, okay, we take a bit, in average, our deals taking longer, but our multipliers getting higher. Multipliers over Europe are Western Europe are higher than in Northern Europe or the South. Actually, these kinds of data we're connecting now, and we're building a product for that part. And I think our competitors will follow. So, yes, it will be important, and still there will be a lot of predictive analytics in there, and very useful for these people.
So, and in your opinion, what does that mean for the whole M&A industry?
I think the data points are more spot on than people that because we combine all deals. When you look at, for instance, just the Netherlands, we run around 3,735 deals or something. So that there's so much data in there, so we can be very precise what is going on, when it's going on, how long it will take, what is average, what is a good multiplier, what is a so-called bad multiplier, if there's a bad multiplier. But I think all these insights are so useful for advisory firms and if the timing is right to sell your company.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see. So one last question. I'd like to touch on the question of why virtual data rooms are used less frequently in small cap. Of course, there's a cost involved, sure, but don't you actually gain more than you spend?
Yeah, I fully agree. I don't think that these people, because they're focusing on growing their business, are not totally aware of the risks not using a data room and are not really aware of the upside using it. So it is the last thing people are trying to grow a business are thinking about. Getting all your corporate housekeeping and all your stuff up and running, it is too much. So they're not focusing on it. I would advise it to, definitely. I would advise it. It will really help them grow their company. And at the end, you get more value out of it.
Okay, so very clear answer. Thank you so much for that. And also, Sharon, thank you so much for your time. I think what we saw today is that you're operating in a market with a lot of momentum, and I'm wishing you continued success.
Thank you very much, Isabella. Thank you for having me.
And dear listeners, it's great to have you with us again. Thanks for tuning in, and we're looking forward to having you next time.
Musik, What's the Angle und What a Wonderful Day von Shane Ivers. www.silvermansound.com